Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Hey fans, so let's be honest with each other. Most of the time when you're listening to a podcast and then there's like these intros or there's these ads, you just like skip ahead, right? You're like, skip, skip, skip. Let's get to the actual conversation. That's what I want to hear. And I get that because I do it myself. So just being honest. At the same time, I do want you to know that the very few companies, brands, and products that I am advertising on this podcast, and it is a few, are because they're ones that I utilize myself, that I believe in, that I think contribute to the greater good of female athletes and female athlete fueling. But I do kind of want to, I just want to do it differently. So what I'm going to try and do in these next few episodes, hopefully you'll pick up on it, is just present to you a company or brand that like makes sense based on the topic that we're talking about. And that way there, I'm not just like reading an ad script, which by the way, in all of our past episodes, all of the ad scripts are still my, it's me, my voice. I wrote it and I spoke it, of course, but I wrote it because I didn't just like read something that somebody sent me. I came up with that message that I wanted to share with you all about the product. But regardless, I just wanted to be a little more authentic and like relevant to the episode, right? So I want to share with you about how when I started my own business, I started using Practice Better. So Practice Better is my client portal and platform, and it can be for dietitians, it can be for other health coaches, nutritionists, just professionals who want to run a program. It can be a virtual program, which is what I do, or it can be in person as well. It's literally everything from your electronic medical charting, your calendar, you're sending forms to clients, like an intake form, or sending notes if you want to send them notes and documents and meal plans. If you need to do invoicing and billing, Practice Better does everything. And that's literally the name of the company, Practice Better. It's a way for you to manage your practice better. Obviously, we all know, like, gone are the days of, you know, doing like paper and pen charting and keeping a locked file cabinet in your office. So much is done virtually, but one of the problems as you get into business, including if you are a dietitian or nutritionist getting into your own private practice, is that it's actually quite confusing with all the different types of platforms you might need. You might need a platform for a calendar, a platform for invoicing, a platform for HIPAA secure client sessions. That's just it. Practice Better does it all. It literally does it all. I can run my entire business on Practice Better. And I have been since Rise Up Nutrition's inception in 2018. I started as a sole proprietor and built myself up to an LLC S Corp, and I've done it all with the help of Practice Better. So I really can't speak highly enough about this platform. And if you are a health professional of any sort looking for a way to manage your business better, Practice Better is a great place to start. The sooner you start using it, the better, so that you can get used to it. Like I said, when I started my business five, six years ago, I actually had zero clients, but I started using Practice Better so that everything was set up so that when that client walked in my door or sent me that email ready to start, it was a seamless transition for how I was gonna operate. So in the show notes, you're going to follow the link. It's kind of a weird link, but it's the specialty link to get my discount. So look to the show notes, follow the link, and then you're going to use the code RISEUP20. You're going to get 20% off of your first 4 months of using Practice Better. It is a monthly subscription rate. You're going to get 20% off for 4 months. And on top of that, they always give you a 14-day free trial anyway, so you're getting 2 free weeks along with that to kind of test it out. So please follow the link in the show notes. Practice Better, use the code RISEUP20, and I can personally vouch for it being a great place for people to start with your nutrition, health, or coaching business. Okay, so let's dive into our topic. It's Thanksgiving, and I every year kind of try to address this topic, so you can head back to episode number 3, Overcoming Holiday Food Anxiety, and then you can tune in as well to episode number 52, Breaking Free from Holiday Diet Culture. I hope those 2 episodes will help you out. Today, I just want to take a little bit of a different spin and talk more specifically about like helpful conversations and unhelpful conversations. First, let's just define diet culture. I say it a lot. You know, it's been around forever. Diet culture is the idea that your health is based on your weight, or that how you look might define your worth, or that what you eat and how much you exercise directly impacts your health. There's actually a lot of varying definitions of diet culture, but around the holiday season, we certainly ramp up a fear of weight gain. You know, the don't eat too much pie or try to make the healthier version of the casserole type of conversations. And that's really expressing a fear of weight gain or this food is better than another, or maybe that a person has more willpower than another person or is better than somebody else for eating or not eating particular foods, XYZ. I can go on and on with different examples. The idea that dieting or watching your calories or being good with your food is something that people should do, that's diet culture. And it's not inherently true at all. In fact, we have lots of evidence and research to say that this is really harmful to people's health, physical, mental, and otherwise. We actually have lots of research to say that the more that we fear weight gain and the more that we try to shame people for it, the worse their eating attitudes and behaviors become, which actually doesn't help them with their weight and or health. So whether it be this fear of weight gain and body changes, the food swaps that try and make the healthier version of a recipe, or the try to exercise more throughout the holiday season messages that we hear, these are some of the diet culture pressures that lots of people feel. And one of the first tips that I have for you in today's episode is to go into this holiday season with some sort of plan, because it can be really overwhelming when everybody around you mentions these things, or an ad on the radio, commercial on TV, scrolling through Instagram sponsored things that pop up, being at the holiday party and hearing a comment from a family member. It's just hard to deal with. So first tip is to create a plan. 3 steps for creating a plan. First one is to have a trusted person that you can talk to about these things so that you don't feel alone. So maybe it is, you know, your own mother that really supports you and understands you. Maybe it's your therapist. Maybe it's a best friend. Maybe it's somebody you can text or call on the phone, just a trusted person that when all of this is building up inside you and you're like frustrated and angry or feeling triggered or feeling maybe even defeated, maybe you start questioning and doubting yourself. Am I doing it right? Maybe I should be going on a diet. Maybe I should exercise more. Maybe I shouldn't have eaten that pie. Once you start getting those messages or thoughts of doubt in your own mind, reach out to that trusted person, express to them how you're feeling. You know, we could expand this to an entire support network, but sometimes you just need one person. I know for my clients, like that's what myself and Jenna, my teammate, that's what we're here for, is like when you're concerned, when you're feeling that doubt, reach out to us, reach out to your other teammates on the Rise Up Nutrition team. And so for you listening to this podcast, find your person that you can have open and honest conversations with this about. Step number 2 in creating a plan is actually having like a plan B. So whether the actual holiday event is going south and you're like, wow, this really sucks. Everybody here is really triggering to me, or like, I don't enjoy being around these people. Is there a way that you can leave? And maybe it's talking to that trusted person to say, hey, we're going to scoot out early if we're not enjoying ourselves. Plan B might be just finding a good coping mechanism of like, hey, if I'm not comfortable in this situation, I'm going to step outside for a walk, and or I'm going to step away into a bedroom or another room and privately listen to a meditation or my favorite music. Maybe plan B just includes you having some positive mantras to say to yourself, or a journal that you carry around and can write out some of these positive mantras in that moment. So have a trusted person and have an action step that you can take, whether it's reframing your mindset, finding positive coping, or leaving the situation, a plan B in that event. Tip number three of having a plan is dealing with the actual food, having a plan with the food. Now, this is going to vary for everybody on what exactly it is that challenges you or scares you or gets you nervous or anxious about food around the holidays. So it's really going to look different for everybody. But what I would encourage you to do when I say have a plan with your food is to have a goal or challenge of the day, which should be the thing that kind of scares you a little bit, right? So if you're somebody who typically is fearful of sugar and desserts, then I would challenge you to have a goal that you will eat one of the desserts on that holiday, on Thanksgiving. Maybe in the past, you've been the person who like brings your own food and only eats your own food because you know it's these quote healthy or clean ingredients. Then your challenge would be not to bring any food, to just eat the food that is provided, make yourself a plate, a balanced plate, and just say, my challenge is to not make my own food, to not be the person that's bringing her own food. Maybe you're somebody who resonates with really feeling like you overeat on Thanksgiving and really feel a lot of guilt or shame. Then your challenge might be to really pay attention to your fullness cues on Thanksgiving Day or any holiday. Your challenge might be to remind yourself that there's always more. It's not just about this day. Your challenge might be to actually make a plan to have a slice of pie the day before Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving so that you are tapping into a mindset of abundance where you don't feel like Thanksgiving is your only day to eat these foods. Those are some tips that might help you. So you can see it's making a plan around the food can be different for everybody, but you could just pause for a moment, maybe pause this podcast and think like, what is the most stressful thing, scariest thing, most challenging thing for me on a day like Thanksgiving? And how can I create a plan to change that this year, to challenge myself in a more positive way? So create that plan for yourself before going into the day of having a trusted person, a plan B, and a plan for your food of a way that you can challenge yourself and do something different this year than you did in the past. Okay, now last week, I shared a post on Instagram about unhelpful holiday conversations. It got quite a few likes and actually a lot of shares and saves. And I'm not going to get all into the metrics of Instagram, but I had over 60 people share it, which is quite a bit, right? People were like, oh, this is important to get this message out. And so I thought, if you don't follow me on Instagram, which you should, by the way, I'm at female.athlete.nutrition. But if you don't love Instagram, if you're not on social media, you're just, you know, you miss posts, then I wanted to talk about it today too. So some unhelpful conversations around the holidays are when we are criticizing certain foods, fat shaming or fearing weight gain, or glorifying restrictive behaviors. So I had a few examples up of unhelpful holiday conversations. Here is one example. If somebody were to say, don't eat too much pie, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, this is what I would call a very triggering diet culture statement and an unhelpful conversation. Why? Because this isn't inherently making people feel like holiday foods inevitably lead to weight gain, and perhaps that weight gain is irreversible or undesirable or making a joke out of it. So sure, people say some of these things lightheartedly, but sometimes it's actually worse making a joke out of it because it's making fun of the situation. And it's not the truth. Holiday food does not inevitably lead to weight gain. There's not a direct correlation to that. Food is food. A carb is a carb. Protein is protein, whether it's in a green bean casserole or cranberry sauce or a pumpkin pie. So when you say comments like this, it creates that good food, bad food mentality, that fear of weight gain, and it just perpetuates the fear of eating holiday foods. It perpetuates people's habits of restriction, or maybe even starts them down that path of restricting, of not wanting to participate in a holiday meal, or maybe they do participate, they eat it anyways, they don't restrict themselves, but then they're feeling guilt and shame because they did do that. I know that was a huge part of like me and my story of my past is I really did enjoy food and I love food. So I did eat it and I did eat it on the holidays, but then I just felt guilty about it afterwards. So, you know, one, first and foremost, when I'm saying these unhelpful conversations is, let's not say those things. Don't say those things. Maybe you're a new listener to this podcast. Maybe you're really like not sure about this whole diet culture thing. You're not bought into it yet. You need to listen to a few more of my episodes. But ultimately, like, just know that saying things like this is not helpful. It's not, even if you're joking, and I get it. Like, sometimes we joke, but like, actually, it's just like, maybe there's something else we can joke about. I don't know. This perpetuates the good food, bad food, fear of weight gain, fear of holiday food, and guilt and shame when participating in holidays. Look, Thanksgiving is one day of the year. Okay, sure, we've got other holidays. We've got Christmas, we've got Halloween. But what is that? We've got less than a dozen holidays in the year. And we have to remember, which I'm going to get to soon, the point of having food on these holidays. It's not to fear it. Other unhelpful conversations is the conversation about needing to exercise more. So if somebody were to say, I'm going to run every single day from now until Christmas to burn off all the holiday food, what people are hearing and interpreting is that holiday food is dense and unhealthy and bad for my body, and therefore I need to compensate for it. I might need to control it. I might need to exercise more. And this really perpetuates a cycle of needing to, quote, burn food to earn food. It creates more stress on people to exercise harder during a time that's already sometimes stressful for people. And for athletes, might not be the right thing. You're already exercising. You're already following your training plan. Maybe even pending your sport, this is supposed to be a down season. I know at least for our high school, college athletes, like there's a nice transition, a nice down season between Thanksgiving and winter sports that we're actually supposed to be embracing that downtime, recovering. And when we say comments like, I got to run every day to burn off the holiday food, now we're stressing our body out more, maybe in a way we're not supposed to. And we're certainly contributing to that mentality of needing to burn off your food in order to earn food, which is not true. This is not true. Why? Because we're not supposed to burn off everything that we eat. We're supposed to keep food internally for our body, for our heart, for our lungs, for our brain, for our digestion. There are internal bodily processes that require energy to function. You're not supposed to burn off all your food. You're supposed to use your food, keep it internally, and you use it for metabolic functions, activities of daily life. And yes, exercise and training and sport participation is great, but I hope you do so throughout the holiday season because you truly enjoy it, not because you need to earn your food. So let's try to avoid saying comments like this around the holiday season. Another example of an unhelpful holiday conversation would be rewarding people for disordered behavior. So a comment such as, wow, you're so healthy even during the holidays. I wish I had your willpower. You know, maybe somebody is, you know, snacking on veggies and saying no to the pie, and we're actually giving them positive reinforcement for that and saying, wow, good for you. No, this is actually not good. Because what people who are doing that, what they hear and interpret is that my identity is being the healthy one. Like I'm being noticed and recognized and getting positive reinforcement for this. So I can't change. If I were to stop eating the veggies and start eating the treats, now I'm classified as unhealthy or as somebody who isn't disciplined or as somebody without willpower. And I don't want to be associated with that. And so I have to keep this up. I have to keep this up and I have to stay restricting and I have to stay with this identity and I have to stay with this pressure of my clean diet. And this really creates a lot of stress to only eat clean, to maintain that unrealistic identity and sometimes untrue identity because we're calling people healthy when maybe they're not. This is flat right, outright disordered eating behaviors. And maybe, you know, whether it's their behaviors that are unhealthy or truly physically, they're unhealthy because of it in a physical sense. That's what happens with eating disorders and red S and underfueling and disordered eating and even the overeating. That's not healthy either, right? So these disordered behaviors don't actually equate to health. And so when we say comments and praise people and give positive reinforcement for their discipline or willpower, it's actually not the right comment to say. That's actually a really unhelpful comment to provide. So first and foremost, I would ask you, please, if you found yourself saying things like this in the past, like, let's try not to. That's the first step, is try not to say these things. What else can you say instead? And frankly, that probably means, let me say, nothing having to do with food or your food behaviors or your body weight. Yeah, talk about the weather. Talk about music. Talk about politics for all I care. Get in a fight over the Thanksgiving table about politics. But no, that's what people always say not to talk about on holidays and family gatherings as well. But yeah, so, you know, talk about the weather. Talk about the weather. It's really exciting. It changes every day, guys. So that's something you can always fall back on. It's really hard. I know for me, like, even as a dietitian, when my eyes first started opening to diet culture, it was hard for me not to say some of these things because you're used to it, right? It's how you grow up. It's how people talk. It takes an intentional effort not to engage in these conversations. It takes an intentional effort to change the subject. And sometimes it feels kind of funny. You know, I'm somebody, I have two sisters and when the three of us get together or the four of us with my mom, just as women, like these things kind of like come up, you know? I remember even just a year or two ago, my sister and I going on a walk and we got into a conversation about our body weights and the scale. And as it was happening, I was like, but why are we talking about this? But why? And I think I was able to, you know, direct the conversation a different direction. So even the best of us are not immune to this. It takes work. Okay. It really does. It takes work. And so if you've caught yourself saying some of these things, I just ask that you try not to. It's that simple and yet so difficult. So what do we do instead, right? Because I don't want you to just be silent the entire Thanksgiving day being like, oh, can't say that, can't say that. You're not going to, you know, tiptoe on eggshells all day long. So I think, as I already mentioned, like really focusing on non-food things can be helpful, changing the subject. But one thing I actually do want to point out is that you can talk about food, but it's how you're talking about food that matters. Okay, so when I say you can have conversations about food, but we just want them to be in a healthy, positive way, I have found that it really helps to learn about food and try to explore food. So instead of viewing food as just calories and macros, how can you discuss food as it relates perhaps to history? This could be the history in your family. It could be experiences and memories, or it could be history like holiday history, right? So why do we eat cranberry sauce on Thanksgiving? Well, I'll tell you why, because Thanksgiving was a holiday based on the friendship between Indigenous peoples and colonists who were mostly in Massachusetts, the beautiful state that I grew up in. And guess what? We have cranberry bogs there. About a third of the nation's cranberries are grown in Massachusetts. So like, that's one of the reasons why we eat it then, because that's one of the foods that they harvested and that these early settlers and the Indigenous people of that region of the world were eating. Why do we make pumpkin pie? Well, once again, pumpkins are actually grown in the fall and winter and cold weather months up in New England states. And I don't believe, if you look back on history, that they were making pie during the 1600s. I actually believe it was in the late 1700s when that tradition sort of started, but they certainly had pumpkins and squash and gourds, and they were certainly harvesting and eating those for fuel and sustenance. And so that's why, right? It's cool when you actually learn about the history of food. And maybe you just want to ask questions about your own family history, like, oh, where did you get this recipe from? Did you get it from, oh, you got it from Aunt Susan? Oh, you got it from grandma? Or like, oh, we don't actually bake pies anymore. We buy them. Maybe you want to try and learn more about, maybe I can make my own pie this year. Is it really that hard? Maybe I can make a dough from scratch. What goes into it? I don't even know. Start to get curious about food. Start to try and learn about it. Create experiences around it. Ask questions about it. And that creates food conversations that are helpful, that are memorable, that are happy. And that's one of my biggest tips. And you might even want to use that as like a rebuttal if you are finding yourself in more of a toxic or unhelpful conversation where somebody is making a comment about, oh, that pie has so much sugar. You could say, you know what? Isn't it so cool that we still carry on the tradition of eating pumpkin? Like, when else do we eat pumpkin, right? Like, seriously, when else do you eat pumpkin? Not very often, right? So like, hey, that's really cool that we're keeping this food from 300 plus 400 years ago in this holiday. Like, that's cool. So change the subject to food in a more positive way. Learn about food, explore food, dive into its history, dive into recipes and cooking. One of the things that has actually really helped in my relationship with food is getting in the kitchen and cooking more. And I got to be honest, watching cooking shows, watching the Food Network, watching Chef's Table, Netflix documentaries to learn about food, to see the chef's love and passion for food and for flavors, that has really helped. Now, I do think pending where you are in your relationship with food, like you got to be making some progress and have an interest in it. If you're super fearful and you just watch one of these baking shows, you might be a little shocked at how much butter is used. So make some progress first and foremost, but then like, then it's worth it and be like, you know what? Butter is what makes a pastry. It cannot be made without it. And you get an appreciation for it. And when you see the chefs that are making it and their appreciation and love for food, it's not about the nutrition. It's about making something fabulous and telling a story behind it. Most of these food networks and chefs and cooking challenges, there's such a story behind the people who are making the food. And that has really helped my relationship with it. And I hope that you can explore that yourself too. So I hope that tip really helps you. And as two other little tips, if you are actively in an unhelpful holiday conversation and you want to get out of it, then you can have kind of the approach of getting into it and challenging this person or conversation or changing the subject, which I kind of already mentioned. So let's just change the subject, right? Let's focus on non-food related topics. So if somebody is worrying about calories, you can say, you know what? Let's not worry about something so trivial like calories on Thanksgiving. Let's not worry about calories on Christmas. I'd prefer to talk about something more exciting. I heard you got accepted into a grad program. Tell me more about that. You know, so you can state a little bit of your truth of like, I don't want to talk about that. Let's change the subject. Let's talk about the weather, as I already joked about. Or as an alternative, you can get into it. You can stand up for yourself. And again, I think you have to be comfortable with, you know, making progress in your journey with food or addressing diet culture. But once you start to get comfortable, it's actually really, really helpful to talk about these things out loud because you're standing up for yourself. When you're standing up for yourself, then you are eliminating that doubt in your own mind. You're stating your truth. You are regaining power in the situation. And also, frankly, you're helping other people because you are not the only person affected by these unhelpful conversations and by toxic diet culture. So if you stand up for yourself, you're actually standing up for other people as well. So what do I mean by this? Maybe this is the person who is making a comment about, oh, you're so good eating vegetables on Thanksgiving. And you can actually stand up for yourself and state your truth with something like, you know, I realize you're probably trying to give me a compliment, but the truth is that my willpower is actually a disorder and I've been working through it. So I find your comment kind of triggering and unhelpful. I know the media focuses on dieting being a good thing, but it actually isn't for everybody, and it's certainly not for me. Health is individualized. It's not one size fits all. And the same goes for food. There's not inherently good or bad food. So all foods can fit today on this holiday and really any day. And that might seem like a lot, but it's powerful because a couple of things are going to happen. First and foremost, that person's eyes are going to be like, whoa, I had no clue. Oh my goodness. And they're going to potentially provide compassion to you or understanding. They might even have an interest of tell me more about recovering what you've been going through. I had no clue. And then that's great because now they're a supporter. Now their eyes are open. The alternative can happen where they don't care or they don't believe you. Their eyes are not open to diet culture yet, but you can know in your heart that you still stood up for yourself. Maybe the best thing that they do is they shut up and walk away and great, you got yourself out of that conversation. And maybe that's the first conversation out of many that this person needs to hear before they start changing their ways. But at least you did your part to start that and stand up for yourself. So to kind of recap, because I jumped all over the place here, three ways to combat diet culture or unhelpful holiday conversations would be to learn food, explore food, be the person who has positive conversations around food. Two would be to change the topic to a non-food, non-diet related subject. And three would be to actually stand up for yourself, get into it, stand your ground, expose diet culture. And in doing so, you help yourself and you help others. I want to circle back to my other tip, which was creating a plan. Maybe you think about what I talked about today and you create a plan for yourself of not engaging in these conversations or being willing to stand up for yourself and talk openly. Or maybe your challenge is to learn and explore food and be the person who has positive conversations around food. That can be part of your plan as you make a plan for the holiday. Figure out which one are you most comfortable with today. Maybe you're comfortable with all three of them, pending the person, pending the topic. Maybe you know that, you know, today's the day, I just need to change the subject. Maybe you are ready and willing to dive into engaging in positive conversations around food. That's what I hope for, because that's the best, because food really is fun. There's a lot to learn about it. There's a lot of history behind it. There's a lot of memories to be made. And that's what I hope for you on Thanksgiving and every holiday moving forward. So listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holiday season, and enjoy your food without stress or guilt today and every day. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others. Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie, please go check them out and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise. Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now. You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide. Or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new coaches toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.